The next verse is in Matthew 5, picking up at verse 38, verses 38 to 42. Talk about how to respond when someone mistreats us. Up to this point in Matthew 5, Jesus has been teaching about how to avoid being the offending one, or if we do, how to try to resolve the situation so that there can be reconciliation or peace. But now Jesus shifts the focus to responding when someone else harms us. And so Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person." And so Jesus is ruling out the kind of eye for eye revenge that we may be tempted to seek. But when Jesus says, "Do not resist an evil person," the word translated resist means a violent response, a violent resistance. Jesus isn't saying that we can't resist at all. He's just saying, don't fight back violently. Well, what else can we do? Well, Jesus gives three examples. Turn the other cheek, give to the one who sues you, and go the second mile. In each case, the response is not violent, but neither is it simply quietly being a victim. Jesus said, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Notice that Jesus specifically says, right cheek. If I'm facing you and either punch you or slap you, the blow would land on your left cheek. Now, Jesus' audience would have recognized that a blow that lands on your right cheek is a backhanded slap used to put someone in their place. If a servant was mouthing off to their master, slap. Or if a wife or child was not being submissive, slap. Now, I know we don't do that today, but in Jesus' day, that's how at least some men did. The backhanded slap was a put-down saying, you're beneath me. And so to turn the other cheek was a challenge. Treat me like an equal. Yes, I'll get hit again, but it will be as an equal. And the only way we can truly restore peace between us is to relate as equals. And Jesus gives two more examples, giving to the person who sues us or going to the second mile. And both are examples of showing kindness to someone who mistreats us. So rather than acting violently or just quietly taking it, we move out of victim mode and take the initiative to show love and kindness to someone who doesn't deserve it. And it has the potential to restore peace. A couple of months ago in a newspaper called Mennonite World Review, there was a story of Suzette Schreffler, who operates the Everything Beautiful thrift store in Lame Deer, Montana. Sounds like an interesting place, doesn't it? But one day she caught a man, a customer, stealing or shoplifting. She could have called the police, or she could have just ignored it. Instead, she confronted the man and reminded him that stealing was wrong. She asked him to volunteer for an hour as a way of making restitution, which he agreed to do. And then she offered him lunch. And in their conversation over lunch, she told him about Jesus Christ, and his response was, "That's the life I want." And he became a follower of Jesus that day. I think Suzette did what Jesus is trying to teach us to do here in Matthew 5. Find a third-way response that shows kindness to the one who's done us wrong. Not violence, not simply ignoring it, but finding that third way of showing love and kindness. And it can lead to peace. Reading on to Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven." Jesus goes on to say how God sends sunshine and rain on both the evildoers and the good people, and that if we show the same kind of kindness to everyone, whether they deserve it or not, then we're acting like God, like a son or a daughter would. Recently, I heard a young man tell the following story. About a year or so ago, his mother passed away, and he inherited her house, which was on adjoining property. And he and his family already owned a house and didn't need a second one. So they decided to offer to rent the house to a young single mother who was a co-worker of his wife. She was in a difficult spot in life, and they were able to offer her the house at a very reasonable rent. Things were good at first, but then a boyfriend moved in, then the rent stopped getting paid, then their shed got broken into and things were stolen. And when I heard him tell the story, things had pretty well been resolved. The troublemakers were gone. But this is what really struck me. As he concluded the story, he said, "What really concerns me at this point is what this has done to my heart. I'm less likely to take a risk to help someone. I don't want to be hard-hearted." Isn't that the problem we all face, even though our stories may be different? None of us gets through life without being cheated or mistreated. How do we keep from getting bitter or hard-hearted? And if you know the answer to that, you know the way of peace. At the end of Matthew 5, Jesus points us to our Heavenly Father, whose heart is not changed by the evil in this world. Certainly God is grieved and angered by what people do, but God's loving heart is not changed. God continues to send sunshine and rain on both the good and the evil. And Jesus demonstrated this as he went to the cross, wrongfully condemned, lied about, spit upon, whipped, and crucified. And yet he continued to love. He said, "Father, forgive them." He didn't become hard-hearted in response to all the wrongs he suffered. And the only way I'm going to pull that off in the same way in my life is if Jesus' Spirit comes and lives in me and helps me, because it's not my natural tendency. A number of years ago, when I was preaching on a similar theme, I had some people in the church do a skit I called Mirror Man. Mirror Man wore a mirror on his chest, and he mirrored the actions of everyone he met. Someone came by and gave him a compliment, he complimented them back. Someone came by and called him a nasty name, and he did the same back to them. Someone else came by and gave him a cookie, he gave them a piece of candy. Someone else came by and gave him a shove, and he gave them a kick in the seat of the pants. The trouble with being a mirror man is you're controlled by the people around you. If they're nice, you're nice. If they're nasty, so are you. And then in the skit, Mirror Man became Jesus Man. He flipped the mirror over, and there was a picture of Jesus. And the skit replayed, and the same people came by again, either being nice or nasty. But this time, when somebody called him a nasty name, he blessed them. And when someone gave him a shove, he hugged them. What Jesus is calling us to is actually a kind of freedom, a freedom from being controlled by the people around us. It's the freedom to remain a loving, kind-hearted person, even when others are unkind to us. It's the freedom Jesus himself experienced. And so when it comes, and with it comes a kind of peace, that I am who I am in Christ, and others can't take that from me, even if they hurt me. And so Jesus wants us to have that kind of inner peace where we're not changed or controlled by those around us. At this point, we're going to sing another song.